So we're going to continue our study of Sefer Melachim Aleph, and we're at the very end of Perek Yudala, chapter 14. Officially, we're up to Pasuk Chavches, maybe Chavtes, where we were involved with the first king of the official Malchus Yehuda of the southern kingdom, Rechavam, who was the son of Shlomo. And we saw the presentation of his life story, at least the details of his life story that Sefer Melachim wants to tell us. And we had left off that there was this horrible siege against Yerushalayim by the king Shishak, who was the king of Mitzrayim, and he took a lot of the treasures that were in the land of Yehuda, specifically in Yerushalayim, specifically from the Beis Hashem and the Beis HaMelech, and we were told even Shlomo's throne, which is something that Shishak had desired. And it ended kind of strangely, the last few psukim that we learned, that Rechavam needed to replenish certain shields and kind of weapons that had been made out of gold in the time of Shlomo, and he replaced them with Nechoshes. He didn't have gold, he used copper. And we ended up saying the Radak said, well, this was the fifth year of his reign, and this terrible, embarrassing thing happened, and maybe it was there just to, he needed weapons to protect himself against a possible rebellion. That pretty much ends the story of Rechavam, as we see in Pasuk Chavtes, Perek Yudalad Pasuk Chavtes, the Yeser Divrei Rechavam, the other matters of Rechavam, the Chol Asher Asa, everything that he did, Halohema Ksuvim al Sefer Divrei Hayamim el Malchei Yehuda. Are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Yehuda, which is not necessarily a reference to the actual Divrei Hayamim that we have and that we're about to take a look at? We're told kind of in very short form, Pasuk Lamed, Umilchama Haisa Bein Rechavam Uvein Yeravam Kol Hayamim. We know that we keep having to match up the years of each of the kings. So Rechavam was king for 17 years, and Yeravam was king in the north of Malchus Yisrael for 22 years. So for all of Rechavam's time being king, the king in the north was Yeravam. And here, at least the way Sefer Melachim is saying, is that Umilchama Haisa Kol Hayamim. There was some level of war, maybe in modern times we would say like a state of war. There was some, doesn't necessarily mean that there were battles all the time, but there was some constancy and consistency with battles between the kingdoms. But we don't really hear more of it here. And all of a sudden, that's it. It's all, at least in terms of Sefer Melachim's perspective, the story ends in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayishkav Rechavam Mimavosav. Rechavam lay with his fathers, a language of passing away. Vayikaver Mavosav, Bir David, he was buried with his forefathers in the city of David. Vishem Imo Na'ama Hamonis, once again we're told who his mother is, and some perspectives of the Mefarshim is it's again to highlight the negative influence that she had on him. Vayimloch Aviyam Benotachtav. And his son Aviyam was ruler after him. We're about to take a look, literally, in a few seconds, to a Sefer Divrei Hayamim. And in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the son who takes over is actually called Aviyah. But Aviyah is also one of the names in the Northern Kingdom. And so perhaps it's to help us out. Sometimes there's a change of name. And so even though this individual was also Aviyah, the second king in the Malchus Yehuda after Shlomo, right? So if you have a chart, is that a chart?
Yeah,
so
but it's you, like a, from a Christian source.
Okay, well, we'll see if they change the names. So if you have Shlomo, in terms of the southern kingdom, it's Shlomo, Rechavam, and then Aviyam, who's also called Aviyah. So that's it. Rechavam ruled for 17 years, and now his son is taking over for him. Because we're still within the 22 years of Yeravam, what the Tanakh does is it will continue the story until we have an imbalance of years. We're now going to continue the story in the Malchus Yehuda, in the southern kingdom, to match up with what's going on. Right? We already heard about the 22 years of Yeravam, but now we need to catch up. So we've done 17, and now we need to do at least the last 5 of Yeravam and meet up with a new king in the southern kingdom. Before we do that, We're going to take a look back. We had taken a look a couple of weeks ago, so I don't know if you still have it, but if not, it's fine. At Divrei Hayamim Yud Aleph. Divrei Hayamim Yud Aleph. So if you have it, that's great. And we had taken a look up until Pasuk Yud Ches. So we're on the second side of the sheet that I handed out. We're in, if you're following at home, it's Divrei Hayamim Beis, chapter 11, verse 18. And what basically we need to do, and just to remind ourselves, is that when we're learning about a king of the south, when we're learning one of the southern kings in the Malchus Yehuda, we need to, at the same time, or at least after we learn about their life in Malachim, we need to hear about their life in Divrei Hayamim, different motivations for the story. I believe that many of us are going to be puzzled why certain details and certain maybe major details are not in Sefer Malachim. And again, we'll try to give some explanations, and sometimes the question will be greater than the answer. So here at the tail end of Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Yud Aleph, so it tells us, Vayikach lo rechavam isha es machlas ben Yerimos ben David, Aviel bas Eliav ben Yishai. The Rechavim starts taking wives. She gives birth to him. This first wife, or two wives, give birth to certain children. Afterwards, he marries Macha, the daughter of Avshalom. Avshalom, again, is David's son, who rebelled against his own father, was pretty much successful in almost a full rebellion until he met his end, and David was able to come back to power. It happens to be, if you take a look at the back to Pasuk Yud Ches, he's staying within the family in terms of his wives. You could match up. He's marrying another child of the son of David. He's marrying a daughter of another son of Yishai. Yishai was David's father. One of his older brothers was Eliav. But we have particular focus on this Macha Bas Avshalom. So now we know why, because we already read Sefer Malachim. She was the one who gives birth to Avia. Also Ves Atai, Ves Ziza, Ves Shalimos, if you need new names that haven't been used before. These are good candidates or not. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayehav Rechavam Es Macha Bas Avshalom Mikol Nashav Upilakshav. Rechavam loved Macha more than any other of his wives. It happens to be he had many. Ki nashim shmona esrei nasa. He had 18 wives, which is the not recommended number, but is the allowed number. Upilak shim shishim. He had 60 concubines, which seem to be, if they're not wives, maybe they're not held against them. Shlomo had even more than 18 official wives. Vayolad esrim ushmona banim v'shishim banos. He had 28 sons, 60 daughters. But he loved Macha the most, which it would make sense, then it flows. Next pasuk. Vayamid l'rosh rechavam es avia ben ma'acha l'nagid be'achav ki l'hamlicho. So out of, the Mefarshim understand, it was out of his love for Macha, the daughter of Shalom, that he promoted her firstborn, Avia, to be a kind of ruler over his brothers. So he's kind of like the chief prince in residence. L'hamlicho, kind of to set him as king, as what do you call it? The one who's designated to become the crown prince? Heir to the throne. That he's going to take over. And gives him, and then we go back to talking about Rechavim, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayavin, Vayifros, Mikol, oh no, this is about Avi, I think. Vayavin, Vayifros, Mikol, Banav, L'chol, Artsos, Yehudo, Vinyamin. He went ahead and built up cities, or this is Rechavim, spread them out, all of his sons in different places in Yehuda and Binyamin, because again, the land is two. L'chol arei hamitzuros, all of the fortified cities. Vayiten l'mamazon l'rov, he gives them abundance of food. Vayishal hamon nashim, and he searches for them to have many wives. We have not seen Avia yet in action. But we're hearing a little bit about his beginning, and his beginning is his mother is the daughter of Avshalom. The Mefarshim understand that she inherited her father's traits, and Avshalom was not so proper, and so too his daughter Ma'acha was not so proper. So we have the future king of Israel being raised for the second time. The same way we said Rechavam, his mother, was a negative influence on him, we now have the next king, his mother, is also going to be a negative influence on him. So that finishes Perek Yud Aleph. What we need to do before we go on in Malachim is take a look at Sefer Malachim, Divrei Yamim Beis, Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12. Where the story of Rechavam continues. And here we hear a little bit more about the character of Rechavam that was left out, for whatever reason, it was left out of Malachim. In that Pasuk Aleph says, Vayhi ki hachin malchus Rechavam u kechez kaso. It was when the kingship of Rechavam was kind of established and strong, Azav es Torah Hashem. He himself forsake the Torah of Hashem, v'chol Yisrael imo, and everyone else, all of Yisrael came with him. So this parallels what we said in Sefer Malachim, how there was the private mizbechos and avodah zarah and even immorality, which ended up in the fifth year. We were told in Sefer Malachim it was the fifth year that the attack came. But here it makes it much more clear that it was only after Rechavam was fully established that on the one hand we see him, or at least the way the Pasuk is describing it, that he is forsaking the way of Hashem, and that all of Klal Yisrael is affected. The Chazal's number one criticism on Rechavam, and maybe even his son, it was their inability to have a positive effect on the people. That maybe they themselves were not as bad as the people, but it's the king's job to go beyond themselves and to make sure, as we're going, right, we're going to contrast kind of the first king, Rechavam, in Malchus Yehuda, not so good. The second king, who's Aviyah, I'm giving it away now, not so good. But the third one is. And when you see the difference in how each one is described, each when you have a quote-unquote a good king versus a bad king, when you see how they're described, you notice the differences in language. So here, it's pretty strong. I mean, if you just the literal level of understanding, Azavist, it doesn't get much, you know, clearer than that. So then we read in Pasuk Beis, Vayhi Bashana Chamisha, so it was in the fifth year, Lamelech Rechavam, again, matching up time-wise, Ola Shishach Melech Mitzrayim Yerushalayim Ki Malu Bashem. Here it's a little bit more explicit that the reason why he's coming is because it's a direct, it's almost like it takes you back to Sefer Shoftim. When the Jews do bad, Hashem needs to punish them, so enemy comes to cause, and then, right, and what happens? He's coming with a huge, here we hear the numbers, Pasuk Gimel, Be'elef u'masayim rechev, 120 chariots, not so impressive, Shishim elef perashim, 60,000 horsemen, the ain misbar la'am asher bo mimitzrayim. In terms of like foot soldiers, he can't even count it. He had people from the Lubim, the Sukiyim, the Hushim, different, nation states of Egypt, all came. Vayil kodes are hamitzuros. So in the previous, in Perek Yud Aleph that we just finished of Divrei Yamin, we heard about all the fortified cities that Rechavam put throughout the land of Yehuda and Yamin. Well, a lot of them, here it almost makes sound like all of them. Asher Yehuda, at least the ones that were to Yehuda, were captured. Vayavod Yushalayim, they came to Yushalayim. And here's the main part of the story that is missing, and it sounds so positive. It sounds so positive, a story. We were wondering why wouldn't it be in Sefer Malachim? In Pasuk Hey, again in Divrei Yamin Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Ushmaya Hanavi. Shmaya the prophet, Baal Rechavam, came to Rechavam the Sarei Yehuda and to the officers of Yehuda, Asher Nesvel Yerushalayim Mipnei Shishak, that had gathered in Yerushalayim because of the pending battle with the king Shishak. Vayomer Lahem, and the Navi said to them, Ko Amar Hashem, So Asher Hashem, the language of Nevuah. Atem Azavtem Osi, you have forsaken me, Va'afani Azavti Eschem, so I'm forsaking you, Biat Shishak. It's Hashem is when he withdraws his protection, so then the enemy can attack. Now Shmaya we've heard about already. Shmaya, this is you have to remember, but if you look back on your Divrei Yamim Yud Aleph sheet, so right after in Pasuk Beis, right after the kingdom split into two, so Rechavam's own salt first he realizes that they're gonna kill him because they killed the person that he sent to try to appease the people, his tax collector, they killed the Israelites in the north. So he realized he's got to run out of town. He ran out of town. He came back to Yerushalayim and he gathered up the troops. He had a huge army. And he's about to go do battle. And we heard about that the Dvar Hashem came to Shmayahu, Ish Elokim. Shmayahu was a man of God. This is the same Shmaya. And Shmaya was successful. Shmaya told Rechavam not to do battle. This is the will of God. And to his credit, Rechavam listened. So here again, Shmaya is here. And Shmaya is giving the we would call it the normal kind of musar, a rebuke that a prophet would give to the Jewish king. And it works. Pasuk Vav, back in Divrei Amin Beis. Vayikonu Sarei Yisrael v'hamelech, vayomru tzadik Hashem. They humble themselves and they say, God is righteous. Uveros Hashem ki nichnau. When Hashem sees that they humble themselves, hayadvar Hashem el shman yilemor, the Nevuah comes back to Shmaya and says, nichnu lo ashchisem, because they humble themselves, I won't destroy them. V'nasati lehem kemat lefleital, give them some type of deliverance. V'lo sitach chamasi b'Yerushalayim b'yad Shishak, I will not pour forth my wrath on Yerushalayim at the hand of Shishak. Kiyu lo lavadim, for some time period, not exactly clear how long, they would be subservient to Shishak. They would be like slaves. Maybe they had to pay taxes for some amount of time. V'yedu avodasiv avodas mamlechos haaretz, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. And it works. V'yal Shishak melech Mitzrayim, the king Shishak, he gets up. Al Yushalayim, right, being against Yushalayim. V'yikach azotzos beis Hashem, azotzos beis hamelech. He takes the money with him. That's still going. As hakol lakach, we saw the language of hakol. Hakol meant the throne. V'yikach as magine hazav, he's got even the shield, asher aso Shlomo, that Shlomo made. And then we hear again, it seems to be important, Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph, that he makes, the king Rechavim has to make the replacement shields out of copper, and they're kept in the storehouse, okay? And when he goes to the Beis Hashem, he has them running in front of him with these things. Pasuk Yud Beis, we'll skip a few. Uvehi kan o, it was when he humbled himself, Shav mimenu af Hashem, Hashem's anger turned from him. Below lahashnas lachala, it wasn't to destroy him altogether. Vegam beYehuda hayadvarim tovim, things kind of got better. Pasuk Yud Gimel veYiskazek Hamelach Rechavim Yerushalayim vayimloch. He's getting stronger. Ki ben arbaim va'achashana Rechavim b'malchul. He was 41 when he became king. Uveshrayas Yishana Malach Yerushalayim, 17 years he is king. Hayashar Bachar Hashem, Blashum Shemo Sham, the city that Hashem chose his name to be, the Mikol Shifte Yisrael, Beshemimo, Namah, Munis, again. But Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayasara, he did what was bad. Kilo Ichin Libo, Lidroshes Hashem, he did not set his heart to seek Hashem. And so it seems that he, on the one hand, did some level of tshuva. Maybe it's not a tshuva gemura. And again, the way Chazal understand is that it didn't have enough of an effect on Klal Yisrael. Now, why this story is not mentioned in Malachim and it is mentioned here? So Ezra HaSofer, who writes Divrei Hayamim, he has a couple of ideas in mind. He wants to keep showing the positive of having a king from the household of David. So this story kind of shows a positive. And Ezra also has a motivation. He was involved in bringing people back to tradition, that there was like a tshuva movement in the time of Ezra. So this is a story, some level of a story of tshuva. Because it didn't have such an effect on the nation, that's a good reason why it's not found in Sefer Malachim. Because Sefer Malachim is telling the story from Yirmiyahu's perspective of how he got to Churban. This didn't really make such an impact on the people. This didn't, quote-unquote, delay Churban anymore. Meaning this was not, in the big scheme of things, it was not considered to be such a popular... or not popular, it didn't have an effect. Mm-hmm. So therefore it's not mentioned, perhaps, in Malachim. The last two psukim here in Divrei Hayamim is V'divrei Rechavim Harishonim V'achronim, things that happened in the life of Rechavim in the early time of his kingship and in the later time. Halim K'sum V'divrei Shmaya Hanavi, they're written in the writings of Shmaya Hanavi, I don't believe we know where that is. V'ido HaChoze, and Ido, who was also a Navi. Again, we don't have that. There were these, right? Lis Yaches means for genealogy purposes. U'mechamas rechavim yiravam, the wars, kol hayam. That's echoing what we said. And then the last pasuk is that he died and he was buried in Er David, and his son Avia took over for him. But when we turn back to Sefer Malachim, so we see very quickly that, right, the last pasuk in the parak that we did in Malachim was Vayimloch Aviyam. They're the same exact person. So here we're back in Malachim Aleph, Parak Tesvav, Pasuk Aleph. And whether it's fortunately or unfortunately, if this is confusing to go back and forth, this is the way we have, I think, this is the way we have to try to do it. Again, only when we're learning about the southern kingdom, when we learn about the northern kingdom, it's just in Sefer Malachim. So Parak Tesvav, Pasuk Aleph. Uvishnas Shmona Esrei Lamelech Yeravam Ben Nevat. It was in the 18th year of Yeravam Ben Nevat, king of the north of Malchus Yisrael. Malach Aviyam al Yehuda, Aviyam became king in Yehuda. So immediately, all the Mepharshim, sometimes we have math that we don't understand, and it gets a little tricky. We know that Rechavim was king for 17 years, and now his son is taking over him in the 18th year of Yeravam. So something's up. So the Radak is okay to say, maybe even Rashi, that there was some downtime for whatever reason. We might not know. There was some downtime where there might not have been a king. It was taking time. I don't know, you know, in the back of our minds, why would that be so? It seems that there was no confusion. The previous king, Rechavim, had clearly designated which son, he had many sons, which son would be king. It's Aviya, or we call him here in Malachim, Aviyam. But there might have been some downtime where there was no king. Or the other approach is that we're only really off by not a lot in terms of it may have been that Rechavim was king into the 18th year of Yeravam, but it wasn't a full 17 years that he was, you know, so the math could be worked with. if it bothers you a lot, read some more of the Mepharshim. It's not that much time, so it works out. Aviyam becomes king. For us, this is going to be something new in Pasuk Beis. He's not king for very long. Shalosh shanim malach b'Yerushalayim. For 3 years he's king. V'shem imo and his mother, who we recognize from what we saw in Divrei Hayamim, is actually Ma'acha Bas Avshalom, Avishalom. Again, it's Avshalom, Avishalom is the same name. So, and the Radak on the spot says, we're told the mother's name, this Avish, that she's the daughter of Avshalom, to tell her she was an Isha Ra, who came from bad. And we'll actually have some hints as to how bad she actually was. So for three, it's only going to be 3 years. This is new for us because, well, I guess it depends. Shaul was king for only 2 years. But once we got past that, kings were kings for a lot longer, right? We have David who's king for 40 years, or at least 33 over all 12 tribes. We have Shlomo who's king for 40 years. We have Yeravam in the north who's king for 22. Rechavam in the south who's king for 17. And here we have a king who's only king for 3 years, which usually it's not a good thing. And we're going, this is not going to be the record for anyone who's seen any of the charts. There were some kings who were a king for much, much less. I think the record is 7 days. We'll get there. It's kind of like there was Lahavdil. There was a president who was only president for like a month, right? I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. He died. Right, he got sick, right?
Yeah. So, okay, it can happen. So usually it's not a good sign. So either it means you got sick or it means someone, you know. Yeah, that. So this individual, Aviyam, is only king for 3 years. Pasuk Gimel. Vayelech b'chol chatos aviv asher asa lefanav. He went in the sinful ways, in the sins of his father, who did before him. V'lo hayab levavo shalem im Hashem elokav, and his heart was not complete with Hashem his God. Kilvav David aviv. Like the heart of David, his father. So we read Sefer Divrei Hayamim, and we saw some phrases how he wasn't so proper, right? Azav is Toras Hashem. But if you just focus on the words in Malachim, which Malachim should focus on, what exactly was Rechavam's sin? That his son, Aviyam, is following in his sinful... We never actually saw one sin in the psukim in Malachim that Rechavam did. So again, the Mefarshim seem to be understanding that it was the impact on the people. And the same way that his father was not able to bring the people back to following the ways of Hashem, so too the son was unsuccessful in bringing the people back and having a control over the people, even if he himself was not necessarily sinning. And that, you know, it's kind of a tall order to compare the great-grandson of David to David. But when it says, Shalemim Hashem Elokav Kilvav David Aviv, what David was able to do, David was able to have an impact on the people. David was able to be a leader who religiously inspired the nation to follow the ways of Hashem. And it almost makes it sound like, you know, we're still working off the kind of like the coattails of David. In Pasuk Dalet, we reread, Kilaman David. It was for the sake of David, on account of David, Nasan Hashem Elokav Lo near Yerushalayim, that Hashem had given him near. Language of near is a language of Malchus. It's a related to the word ner. But it has this idea of Metzudas Sion says it means leadership. Here, Artscroll translates it as dominion. The word near. What do you got? Near.
Rule.
Okay, some level of rulership. So it was because of David that this Aviam is able to rule in Yerushalayim, Lachim es beno acharav, to establish a son after him, Laham Yerushalayim, to keep Yerushalayim going. So it's this great-grandson of David, it's almost saying like he did not have his own merit, and he's only leading in Yerushalayim as some type of a direct reward for what David did, or because of David's actions led to this, how David was so great. Pasuk Hey, Asher Asa David Hayasher Beini Hashem. It was David that did what was Yasher, what was straight in the eyes of Hashem. Velo Sar Mikol Asher Tzivahu. David did not go to the right, go to the left. He didn't move from that which Hashem commanded. Kol Yimei Chayev, all days of his life. Rak Vidvar Uriah Hachiti, only the matter with Uriah Hachiti, which was the whole episode of Bathsheba, which some of Farshim say it's kind of being pointed at or highlighted again, meaning it never gets totally erased from David's story, and it's a part of it. It's a part of his story as being the quintessential Baal Tshuva, to being the example of what it means to do Tshuva. Kind of David set the bar in terms of what is right. He's accused by Nasan Hanavi, and immediately he doesn't play the blame game. Immediately he says Chatasi. Immediately he says I sinned, and everything that's in that discussion. So David's the pillar of tshuva, of bringing himself back and being an example of the people of bringing back. And this Aviam, he was not successful in bringing the people back. He was not successful in having an impact. So that's all, right? He hasn't even been king yet. We described that he became king. He's king for 3 years. He went in the sinful ways of his father. He didn't go in the ways of David. That so far we know no particulars in terms of in Sefer Melach. Pasuk Vav. Umilchama haisa bein Rechavam uvein Yeravam kol yimei chayav. And there was war between Rechavam and Yeravam all the days of his life. Who's confused?
Me.
Right?
Yeah, why is that here?
Why is that here? That should be there. Right? First of all, we knew about it already. Yeah. Right? We already said in Perek Yudal at Pasuk Lamed, we said, Umulchama Hesa Bein Rechavam Bein Yeravam Kol Hayamim. There was war between the two, Rechavam and Yeravam. So here we're hearing about it again. So there may be some element that even during the years of war, in his father's time, one of the chief officers was the crown prince. One of the chief generals was the crown prince. His father had kind of set him up higher than his brothers. So he was involved in the fighting against the north, even during his father's time. And that continued in his 3 short years. But without any of the details, and again, I think I'm setting it up so that it's more shocking, because the I think there's already shock value. We don't hear any of the detail, the difference between how this is being portrayed here versus how it's going to be portrayed in Divrei Hayamim. It's wild. And that's it. Over. Pasuk Zayin. V'yeser Divrei Aviyam. And the other matters. We don't even know what the first matters were, but I guess there was war during the days of his life. The other matters of Aviyam, v'chol asher asa, everything he did in those short 3 years, halohim k'suvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malach Yehuda, they're written about in the book of Chronicles for the kings. And again, u'molchama ha'isa bein Aviyam u'bein Yeravim, and there was war, a constant state of war. So if in his father's lifetime it was 17 years, in his lifetime it seems, you know, you'd say some level of constant war for the 3 years that he was king between himself and the northern kingdom. Vayishkav aviyam im avosav, he lay with his fathers, passed away. Vayikbru oso b'ir David, and he's buried in Ir David. Vayimloch Asa benotachtav, his son Asa, a new name, Asa becomes king in his place. But since, right, you do the math, we have Rehoboam being king for 17 years and his son being king for 3, we got to 20 years. It means Yeravam is still king. So Yeravam is now going to continue to be king for his third installment of the Malchus Yehuda. Mm-hmm. And only after we finish a large section, relatively large section about this other king Asa, will we go back and look at the story from the northern perspective, the next king after it, because in Malachim already presented Yeravam as having passed away. Clearly, that's just the big picture. In real time, in the parak now, he's not. He's still king for another for another 2 years. But before we can move on to look at the life of King Asa, we have to go to Perek Yud Gimel of Divrei Hayamim Beis. This is why we made photocopy machines and why this paper to spread Torah. So here we're gonna have some trouble. So we have the Das Mikra edition of Divrei Hayamim to help us, because we hear at the beginning of Divrei Hayamim Beis Perek Yud Gimel. Again, the same math. The math anomaly. B'shna shmona esrei lemelech Yeravam vayimloch Aviya al Yehuda. Here he can be called Aviya. Why? There's no confusion. There are no. We're not focusing on the kings in the north. We're focusing on the south, right? Pasuk Beis. Shalosh shanim malach b'Yerushalayim. 3 years he rules in Jerusalem. V'shem imo Michayahu bas Uriel min Giva. Which is a problem, right? Different mother. Mm-hmm. Same person. But even if you want to try to compare, you want to maybe say, okay, it was one way in Sefer Malachim, it's one way in Divrei Hayamim, but no. It was told to us in Divrei Hayamim that his mother's name, right? We had that in Perek, right? We had the Shidduch of Rehoboam married Ma'acha bas Avshalom and gave birth to Aviya, ben Ma'acha. So, the Das Mikra, quoting from others, basically explains the easiest way. She had two names. She had two names. Exactly. Min Giva, she came from Giva, and that's the way that they saw it. So, homework assignment if you want to find other answers. It's enough for the Das Mikra, it'll be enough for us. There was war between Aviya and Yeravam himself. But now we start hearing about the war. Aviya joins the war. Echayel gibori milchama, with valiant men, strong soldiers of war. Arba meos elef, a force of 400,000 ish bachur, chosen men. That sounds impressive. Not so. The Yeravam arachimo milchama b'shmona meos elef ish bachur gibor chayel. Yeravam has, 800,000 Which happens to me, it makes sense. If two tribes can gather together a force of 400,000, so shouldn't 10 tribes be able to at least double it, if not more? So if any, you may, maybe you'd say per capita, it's impressive that the Malchus Yehuda was able to get 400. They only have two tribes to work with. Okay. The numbers sound huge. And it also appears that Avia is totally outnumbered. He's got half the amount of soldiers, right? At least the way we understand old warfare was army number one lines up on one side, army number two lines up on the other side, they meet in the middle, whoever kills more people wins, whoever's still standing wins. So it seems that but it doesn't faze him. Vayakam Avia, and again, this is the Avia who we know nothing about other than he was not a positive influence on the people. He followed in the ways of his father. He didn't follow in the ways of David. But listen to him. Vayakam Avia, in Pasuk Dalet. Me'al lahar tsmarayim. From on top of a mountain. Asher Bahar Ephraim, which is amongst the mountains of Ephraim. Vayomer. Shimauni Yeravam v'chol Yisrael. You have to imagine somehow he's loud enough that Yeravam and the entire army can hear. He's on a mountaintop. He's, you know, they didn't have megaphones. Maybe they knew how to make the camp megaphone, like just the not plastic. They had the other things. However it is, he's getting the message out there. And he really sounds very righteous and religious and zealous. It's like, Vayomer, right? He says, listen, Yeravam v'chol Yisrael. Pasuk Hey. Halo lochem ladas. You really should know. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael nasan mamlacha leDavid al Yisrael. It was God who gave the kingship over to David. Laolam, forever. Lo Levan of Bris Melech. To him and to his sons, a Bris Melech, a covenant of salt, that just like salt is everlasting, so too the Malchus Beis David. Vayakam Yeravam ben Nevat, Eved Shlomo ben David, and Yeravam ben Nevat, who was just a lowly Eved to Shlomo, Vayimrod al Adonav, and he rebelled. Vayikatzvu alav anashim reikim in Eliyahu, and lawless and baseless men attached themselves. Vayisatzmu, and they strengthened themselves al Rechavim and Shlomo against Rechavim. Urechavim hayanar. Rechavim was young. Now, we know he wasn't that young. He was 41. Virach levav, and he was faint of heart. Velo ischazak lefnehem, and he didn't withstand against them. Now, that's not... First of all, this is all perspective. We know that the kingdom split because God said so. It was not Yeravam's fault. Now, what we can add to that is that Yeravam has not handled it properly. And that's why his dynasty is not going to last. And Yeravam is the one who has set the northern kingdom on a path of destruction, of eventually being exiled and lost. But at least he's taking a much more personal perspective. He's from the Malchus Beis David. You have to imagine that he knows the history, although maybe not. We know it because we read the Tanakh, but I don't know, maybe somehow he didn't know. It's really surprising. And he says to them now, Pasuches, V'ata, and now, Atem Omrim, you're saying, L'schazik lefnei mamlechas Hashem b'yad b'nei David, V'atem hamon rav, v'imachem egle zav, asher aso lechem yiravim lelukim. You want to be against the hand of Hashem and hence the sons of David. You have your Egle Zahav, you have your golden calves that you made as a god. Halo hidachtem es kohane Hashem. Did you not push away the kohanim of Hashem? Es b'nei Aaron ha'alavim. You got rid of the kohanim, you got rid of the levim. Batazu lechem kohanim. You made for yourself false priests. Ka'ame ha'aretz, like just the people of the land. Kol haba l'mal yado befar ben bakar ve'elim shiva. Whoever wants to bring karbanos, v'haya kohen l'lo Elohim, and they become a priest to know God. So so even if we want to say within his words that while it might have been that you were right to become your own land, this is definitely not right according to anyone, that you're supposed to start a new religion, that you're supposed to do Avodah Zarah with Egle Zav, with Kohanim who are not Kohanim, and now he stands up, it seems to be he's supporting the right things. Pasuk Yud, V'anachnu Hashem Elokeinu V'lo Azavnuhu. We have not forsaken Hashem. So in parentheses, you're thinking, well, they did. A little bit in Malachim, it was described that way. Okay, but they did some tshuva, so how much was the tshuva? V'kohanim misharsim l'Hashem. We have kohanim. Who are our kohanim? B'nei Aaron. They're the sons of Aaron. V'hamaliyim v'malachas. We have real Leviim doing the work. And he gets very explicit. Umaktirim l'Hashem olos baboker baboker. They bring carbon olos, the ones in the morning, in the morning. Uve'erev be'erev, the ones in the evening, in the evening. Uktaris ha'samim. And they bring the incense. Umarechas lechem al shulchan ha'tar. They have lechem upon him on the shulchan. Umenoras hazav v'nerisel avar be'erev be'erev. They light the menorah at night. We are guarding the guardianship of Hashem, Va'atem azavtem oso, and you have forsaken him. So perhaps we're thinking that this story and this speech, again, it may not have had an effect on the Malchus Yehuda, but we can understand why Ezra wants to incorporate it in Divrei Hayamim, because it's a very powerful, religiously inspiring speech, how there's the them and the us. There's the us who follow the Dvar Hashem, and the them who don't. Pasuk Beis, V'hine imanu v'rosh elokim v'chohanav, we have God as our head, v'chatzotzor satrua lahari aleichem, with trumpets to kind of alarm against you, b'nei Yisrael, O children of Israel, meaning northern kingdom, al tilachamu em Hashem elokei avoseichem, ki lo satzlichu, do not do battle against the God of your fathers, because this is the God of your fathers, you're not going to be successful. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'yeravam hesiv es ha-ma'arav, lavo me'acharehem. Yeravam caused some type of ambush to go from behind them, meaning Yeravam is not backing down from this fight. V'yu lefnei Yehuda, he was before the army of Yehuda, v'ama'arav me'acharehem, and the ambush was behind them. Vayifnu Yehuda, Yehuda looked back, v'hinei ilahem ha-melcham ha-fanim v'achor, they have now two battlefields, v'yitzaku la-Hashem, they cry out to God, v'akonim, v'akohanim, mechatzrim b'chatzotzos, they're blowing the trumpets, wakening the people to war, v'yariu, they man the ish Yehuda, the men of Yehuda give out a shout, v'yihi b'ariya ish Yehuda, it was when they gave the shout, v'halokim nagafes yiravim v'chol Yisrael, Hashem stepped in, maybe some miracle, and caused a great, he smote Yeravam and Chol Yisrael, actually didn't kill Yeravam here, Lefnei Aviv of Yehuda, the army, Vayenusu b'nei Yisrael mifnei Yehuda, they ran away, Vayinem Elokim b'yadam, Hashem had given over the northern kingdom into the southern kingdom's hands, and when you hear the numbers, it's like shocking, again, that this whole story is not mentioned in Malachim. Vayaku b'hem Aviya v'amo, Avia and his whole people struck against the northern kingdom, Makaraba, a great blow, Vayiplu Chalolim Mi'Yisrael, and the slain from Yisrael, Chamesh Meos Elef Ishbachur, 500,000 of the original 800,000 force. Vayikanu B'nei Yisrael B'Esahi, the children of Israel were humbled at that time, Vayemtsu V'nei Yehuda, and the B'nei Yehuda were strengthened, Kinish anu al Hashem elokei avosehem, because it was Hashem who saved them. Vayirdof avia achari Yeravam, he chased after Yeravam. Vayilko imenu arim, they were able to capture cities. At Beit El, Beit El was one of the really prominent cities, right? One of the two religious centers that Yeravam had made. One was in the north in Dan, and one was in Beit El. Ves Benoseh, the towns that surrounded it. Ves Yeshana, another town called Yeshana. Ves Benoseh, the towns that surrounded that. Yes, Ephraim, and the towns that surrounded that. Below Atzar Koach Yeravam Od, Yeravam did not have further strength b'imei Avio, in the days of Avio. Now, in parentheses, we know that that's only 3 years. And here we have a phrase that we did not find in Malachim, Vayivgehu Hashem Vayamos. Hashem struck or smote Yeravam and killed him. We had it much more peaceful. We had it. In Perek Yud Dalet, which is still was our last Perek, mm-hmm. In Pasuk Chaf, the Pasuk said, "Va'yamim asher malach Yeravam esrim u'shtayim shana." He ruled for 22 years. "Va'yishkav emavosav." He lay with his fathers, a language of passing away. "Va'yimloch Nadav beno tachtav," and his son Nadav. Here he says, here Divrei Hayamim says it, his death was not a nice old age death, but it was a type of punishment from Hashem, which we obviously know is fitting. Again, a little striking that's not listed in Malachim. how that would motivate, again, we maybe would understand why it would motivate Ezra to write it, because it has the, there's always the contrast, the people who follow the Devar Hashem, which paints Aviyah in a phenomenal picture, and on the other side is Yeravam. So Yeravam is on the run. Yeravam's cities are captured, and Yeravam is struck down. Yeravam is killed. Pasuk of Aleph, Vayischazek Aviyahu. Aviyahu strengthened himself. Vayisolo, he got married. Nashim Arba Esrei, 14 wives. Vayolad Esrei Mushtayim Banos, 22 children. 22 sons, Vishesh Esrei Banos, and 16 daughters. Now, probably not in 3 years. Probably not. But there's no reason to imagine he only gets married when he becomes king. We're not told how old he was when he became. Sometimes we're told how. All right, we were told when Rehoboam became king, we were told how old he was, but we were not told how old Aviah or Aviam is when he becomes king. So at some point in his life, he married all these wives, and again we see here Pasuk of Beis V'Yeser Divrei Aviah Udrachav, his ways Udvarav, his matters Ksuvim, they're written B'Midrash Hanavi Ido, in the commentary of the prophet of Ido, which is something that we don't have. In Pasuk Chakimel, the last is Vayishkav Aviah Imavosav. Aviah lay with his forefathers, passed away. Vayikbaru Oso Bir David, buried in Yer David. Vayimloch Asa Bino Tachtav, like we saw in Malachim, his son Asa will become king. And then, why this phrase needs to be here, I'm not sure. Biyamav shakta ha'aretz eser shanim. In his days, presume it has to mean in Asa's days, the land was quiet for 10 years. His father was only king for 3. Maybe the Rayamim is trying to imply that the sheket, the quiet that existed in the land over the course of those 10 years, is somehow due to the father. But what is striking is that why this story is not listed in Sefer Malachim. Such a military victory. And again, we circle back perhaps to the point is, well, what did the military victory do for the southern kingdom? Did it spur the people to do a real tshuva? So it sounds like not, because what we're going to end up doing is automatically we're going to compare and contrast the impact that Aviam, this current king, has on the nation versus the impact that his son, Asa, is able to have on the nation. And when you see the religiously positive impact that Asa has on the nation, so then we, by kind of, the fact that it went out of its way to say Asa did it, it means that his father didn't do it. And his father is following on the ways of Rehoboam, who didn't do that. And so this great military victory that happened somewhere up north, where they take advantage and they kill, even if it is, 500,000 soldiers, what did it do back home? What did it do for the religious nature of the people? What did it even necessarily do to strengthen themselves as king? He obviously, maybe would say he's not that, he only is king for 3 years. Why, if he's such a worthy king who's so great for the southern kingdom, why doesn't he remain king? Why doesn't he be one of these 40-year kings? Because, again, we're forced, not as teachers, you're never supposed to compare. If you have different siblings, you're not supposed to compare. Sometimes you shouldn't even mention that the older sibling ever existed. We're not supposed to compare father and son. They're supposed to be different kings. But when it's so clear that there's a difference, we're kind of left. We have to. So if you turn back just for a few minutes to Sefer Malachim, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Tes, we meet the new king. Uvishnas Esrim li Yeravam Melech Yisrael. It's in the 20th year of Yeravam, the king of the north. So he's only going to be king for 2 more years. Malach Asa al Yehuda, the king Asa, the son of Aviam, becomes king over the southern kingdom, becomes king of Yehuda. Va'arba'im va'achas shana Malach v'Yushalayim. We now have a new record. He is going to be king in Yerushalayim for 41 years. One more year than Shlomo, one more year than the total that David had. And even we seem to always have this nice round number of 40, that some of the great Jewish leaders, Eli leads for 40 years, Moshe leads for 40. 40 is this nice, I think maybe some of the other Shoftim. So he's king for 41 years. V'shem Imo, here we stay true to our tradition. Shem Imo, his mother's name, was Macha Bas Avishalom. Everything fine? This is his grandmother. This is his grand. His mother, Aviam, was the daughter. Aviam was the son of Macha Bas Avshalom. So what does it mean, V'shem Imo?
You know, many times they say V'shem Aviv, meaning grandfather.
Right. So part of the answer is, okay, it's normal in Tanakh to refer to a grandfather as father. Right, we just did that, right? We said about Aviam, Kilvav David Aviv. David Aviv was actually his great-grandfather. So it's normal to call a grandparent a parent. And so, okay, it's normal. Why not mention specifically his actual mother? Why mention his grandmother? So Mefarshim talk about the idea that she was in the position of being queen mother, because she was the mother of Aviam, and it was some type, right? It's not just, the Tanakh is not necessarily just identifying who is the mother. Sometimes we want to know, because usually, obviously, we know who the father is, so you have to tell us who the mother is. But the queen mother perhaps had some level of prominence, and this Macha, she had a position of prominence, and it could be she held on, at least for a little bit of time, she held on to that position of prominence, even though she was now grandmother of the king. Some of Farshim want to say that no, we already have pointed out how much of a negative influence she was on her son, so you want to celebrate the grandson, look at the grandmother he had, and she was not an influence, right? Because after we see who she is, she's the daughter of Avshalom. She has kind of inherited Avshalom's traits, and yet we're going to see that this King Asa was great. The way that Tanakh praises him is great. And we're even going to see the way Chazal understand is that Asa, unfortunately, he made a horrible mistake on his very high level. Asa was the only king who had the potential to repair the rift between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Because Asa, because he was king for so long, he was king for 41 years, and he takes over after, in the 20th year of the since there was a rebellion. So 16 years into him being king, that would reach 36 years into the nation splitting into two. Shlomo was under the influence of his wife, specifically the one from Mitzrayim, for 36 years. And so the original punishment was that for 36 years the nation should be split, and it was under Asa that there was potential for it to be brought back. You know the end of the story, as do I, that it didn't happen. But already it says something about Asa, that he had the potential to bring it back. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will kind of highlight why that never was able to take place.